Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right, we're observing the Lord's Supper this morning. And if you notice all the songs and the things that we try to plan the service around the Lord's Supper here at Second Mile, we want it to be a part of our worship, want it to be the central piece of our worship. And why do we do that? Well, the Lord told us this is what we're supposed to do. I'm moving through a sermon series on last things, the things that happened to our Lord the last week of His life. And today we're looking at the Passover meal, which wound up being turning into the Lord's Supper. We're looking at that this morning. You do not want to miss next week, talking about the betrayal on March the 15th and March the 22nd, agony in the garden, talking about the Garden of Gethsemane and that prayer experience that Jesus had. And then March the 29th, we're looking at that mockery of a trial. I call it a trial of travesty. And I know what March 22nd is. That's spring break. Well, guess what? We're not going to take a break from the Bible, okay? We're going to keep preaching and teaching. And I hope you all will be here for those two Sundays. And then on April the 5th, I've entitled the message at Calvary. We're going to look at the cross. And then April the 12th, how many of you know what day that is? That's Easter, and so we'll be celebrating the resurrection that morning. So that's where this sermon series is headed. I wanted to make you all aware of that today. But this morning, we're in Mark chapter 14, and we want to start there at verse 12. And I want to read through verse 17. And then as we move into the message this morning, we'll be in verses 22 through 26. So when you have found Mark 14, verse 12, let's honor God's word by standing if you can. Mark 14, verse 12. Now these are significant words. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed or sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared there, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. And how many of you know you can count on Jesus? Amen. And they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
God of all grace and mercy, we just humbly come before you and we tremble, Lord, at your word and the remembrance of this ordinance that you've given us. Help us to help the holiness of it, the realness of it, to be real to us this morning. Be with Brother Cal, Lord. He comes before you and he makes himself available to you, Lord, for you to use for your glory. And I just pray that you would hide him behind your word and behind the cross. Speak through him to us. And may all that we say, do, think here bring honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Please be seated. Well, it's probably Thursday of Passion Week. Now, you all know the Jewish day. The Jewish calendar runs from sundown to sundown. So, Thursday evening the Jews would consider to be Friday. Okay? Sundown to sundown is when the day's around. But our Thursday of Passion Week, Passover Week, the disciples, specifically Peter and John, come to Jesus and said, "Lord, where are we going to have the Passover meal? When do you want us to serve it? Where is it going to be?" Now, on the 10th of the month of Nisan, the sacrificial lambs were normally inspected and picked out for 4 days to make sure there were no marks or blemishes or spots, or everything had to be just right about these lambs. And then on the 14th of the month, 4 days later, those sacrificial lambs were slain. And that needed to take place in the temple precinct. And then the Passover meal for all these thousands of Jews that were in town needed to be eaten in Jerusalem city limits. Y'all with me so far? And so the Passover meal, you all know the story there, most of you do. That was the memorial that had been set aside by the Jewish people for years, celebrating their emancipation, their deliverance from Egypt. And so what Jesus is doing here, he is sitting down like a good Jew would during Passover week and enjoying the Passover meal and looking back and remembering that. And then amazingly, in the middle of the Passover meal, he institutes what we have come to know and love as the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now, let me just kind of give you some background here of the Passover meal. Now, let me come back to Peter and John. "Lord, where do you want us to eat this Passover meal?" And he said, "I'll tell you what, you two guys, you go into town, you go into Jerusalem, and you're going to find a man carrying a water pot." Now, in those days, who carried the water pots? That's right, where? Right up here. And so it'd been real easy to spot a man with a water pot when those guys got into town. When they got into town, it was just like Jesus said it would be. Right? And so they follow him to his house. And they go into the house and they soon find out that it's just like Jesus said it would be. They would celebrate and sit down to the Passover meal upstairs in a place that was called the upper room. This was probably John Mark's house, his father and mother's house. Many Christian meetings took place in this upper room. That's where the Holy Spirit fell. You remember that? And so the Passover meal was celebrated there in the upper room by Jesus and his disciples. Now, the Passover meal itself, there was a roasted lamb. And the lamb, after the lamb was slayed, they took that Passover lamb. And it reminded them of those of the Passover lambs that were slain back years and years and years before. And the blood of that Passover lamb had been sprinkled over the doorpost of the Jewish homes in Goshen. And that night when the death angel passed over, if your house had the blood on the doorpost, your firstborn was saved. All right? And so the Jews looked back during that Passover meal, and they were grateful. They'd been set free by the blood of the lamb. They'd been delivered. Everybody in here should have shouted amen. Now, they also not only ate this roasted lamb that had been slain, they had what the Bible calls bitter herbs. And bitter herbs were eaten by the Jews to remind them of their terrible slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. And then the unleavened bread reminded them. Do y'all know after the death angel passed over Egypt that night and all of the firstborn in Egypt had died, early the next morning, 2 million Israelites left. And so that unleavened bread reminded them of the haste in which they got out of Egypt. Aren't you thankful, spiritually speaking, God got us out of Egypt? Whoo, glory. There's another sermon right there. But, so that's what this Passover meal is all about. Okay, now, sometime as the centuries went along, the Jewish folks at the Passover meal had instituted the drinking of 4 cups of wine that had been diluted with water. So the family would normally sit down in their house and recline around the table. And they would, the patriarch, the father of the family, the husband, he would say a prayer of thanksgiving for Passover. And then they would drink from the cup, the first cup, and pass it around. And then they would eat the bitter herbs and be reminded of how God had delivered them. And they would sing Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 and then drink and pass the second cup around. How uncultured. Everybody drinking from the same cup. And then, after that, they would begin eating the roasted lamb and the unleavened bread. And they would sing Psalm 115 through 118 and drink the third cup during that time. And at the conclusion of the Passover meal, they would drink from the fourth cup. And so it was probably between the drinking of the third cup and the fourth cup that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Catch this. Watch this. Look at verse 22. And as they were, the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, that unleavened bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And other scriptures and gospel accounts in 1 Corinthians say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And so then he passed the cup. Now, the Lord's Supper, you see, is a time of participation. Say participation with me. Participation. Everyone, Jesus and all the 12, sat down at the Passover meal, even Judas. They were all together participating in the Passover meal. And in much the same way, the Lord's Supper is a time for all God's family to sit down and participate. We ought to have to sell tickets for people to get in here. It is one of the most special times of the season when God's people sit down to a fellowship meal with the Lord Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is here this morning? He is here. His presence is here. And spiritually, we're going to sit down at the table with Him. This is for the family of God. And you see, when we sit down to the Lord's Supper table, listen, brothers and sisters, we are identifying with believers everywhere. And we're agreeing to keep the unity of the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's nothing like you and me. There's nothing like the family of God. We are special. We're children of the Lord. We're children of the Most High God." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when we sit down at the table this morning, brothers and sisters, we're sitting down not just with ourselves, but we're sitting around a table with believers from everywhere. Amen. But most importantly, who's at the head of the table? Jesus is. And so we're all to participate. Everybody. Well, not everybody. But if you're a blood-washed, born-again, Spirit-filled, baptized believer, this supper is for you. Participation. Participation. Now look at verse 24. "And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant.'" Now that's significant. "Which is shed for many." Now, a lot of other scripture verses fill in some of the blanks and answer some questions that you may have this morning. But when Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it, he said, "This is my body." And then when he took the cup, he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is given for you." The body, the bread is symbolic of the body of the Lord, and the cup, the wine that they were drinking, is symbolic of the blood that Jesus would shed for us. Now, we're going to look at this more as we move towards the cross in this sermon series on last things. But I want to tell y'all, no one ever died like Jesus did. He suffered physically, emotionally, mentally, he suffered relationally, socially. He suffered spiritually. He said, this is my body. Now, the bread does not supernaturally become the body of Jesus. Okay? But there is a sense in which we're partaking of his of the bread, which we're drinking in the benefits of the breaking of his body. Does that make sense? And so when you Isaiah 53 talks about it, clearest picture we have of the cross in the Old Testament. And he said, Isaiah predicted in 4K that Jesus' body was so beaten and bruised and bloodied that after they got done with him, before he went to the cross, you couldn't even recognize who he was. He was so beaten up and bruised and bloodied. Jesus suffered tremendously. And so when we partake of the bread, we're looking back at his body that was given for us. Are you thankful for Jesus this morning? And then when we partake of the cup, Jesus said, now, he said something different here. He said, this is the new covenant. The shedding of my blood is, you're going to be under a new covenant. The old covenant had to do with the blood of bulls and lambs and oxen and turtle doves. And the blood of those animals would cover the sins of the people temporarily. But of course, what happened? The folks kept doing what? And the blood of those animals couldn't permanently satisfy God's wrath and God's forgiveness for their sin. And so they had to keep on slaying those animals. But when Jesus died, the perfect Lamb of God, when he spilled his precious, perfect blood for you and me, all of God's wrath for our sin was satisfied. He was able to atone for every sin I've ever committed. Hallelujah. And because Jesus paid the price, I'm no longer under the law, I'm under grace. Glory to God. That doesn't make me want to go out here and see what I can get by with either. I don't have a license. Grace is not a license to sin. It's a license to serve God. 24. I'm doing some pretty decent preaching right now. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. And so we're under a new covenant today. Amen. Now, we're not told this here in Mark's gospel, but I want you to just flip over a few pages because this is for our benefit to 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord's table, the Lord's Supper is not only a time of participation, it's a time of examination. Say examination with me. 1 Corinthians 11. The Spirit of the Lord's here. Do y'all sense Him? 1 Corinthians 11. I want to start up there at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 27. Listen to this. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Say, uh-oh. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The Lord's Supper is a time of examination. We are not only to look back and sit down and participate with the Lord, we are to look within and we are to examine ourselves in light of the fact of who Jesus is and what he did for us. Any unconfessed, unrepented sin is going to cause problems for you if you sit down at the Lord's table. What God wants us to do this morning is to ask Him to search our hearts and ask Him, is there anything in my life that you're not happy with? Have I got unconfessed sin in my life? Is there anything that I haven't forsaken or turned from that I need to, Lord? And guess what? the Spirit that lives within you, if you're a believer, God's going to tell you right then, here's what I've got. And then you confess that sin to Him. And you turn from it. You're so sorry for it, you don't want to go back there again, right? And that way, you see, one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper is to keep us close and clean. To keep us pure and holy. That's one of the reasons for the Lord's Supper. You see, God desires that Second Mile Church be holy. Is there an amen over here, y'all, anywhere? He desires that we might be holy. Is He desires that we might be close and clean. He desires that we might be pure and holy. It's starting to sink in, isn't it? And so we're to examine ourselves. You don't want to eat and drink judgment on yourself. I've had people tell me, well, Brother Cal, I just won't eat the supper then. I just won't sit down at the table. Well, guess what you've just done? You've invited God's judgment upon your life. Because if you don't deal with your sin, guess who is? If Jesus didn't get by with my sin, what makes me think I can? What did the Father do? He put the Son on the cross. And so this is a time of examination, of looking at. And Paul said, for this reason, you haven't judged the sin in your life. That's why a lot of you all are weak and sick. And some of y'all have even died. Because of this issue. If you're a believer, friend, can I just tell you, I have personal experience, you're not going to get by with your sin. And you'd better deal with it this morning before you sit down at the table. Because if you don't, there's going to be you know what to pay. But hallelujah. How many of you experienced the cleansing of the Lord?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven of your sin and to have your conscience cleansed?
Yes.
And so examine your heart. If there's any greed or gossip or jealousy or lying, thieving, any addiction, any stuff that you've got in your life, just get that right with the Lord today. That's why we're sitting down here at this spiritual table today. Is anybody with me?
Amen.
So it ought to be a time of examination. I've wondered, you know, I preach another message on this called the meal that heals. One of the reasons so many people in the church are weak and having to deal with illness and sickness and disease and stuff, you know, over 50% of the people that go to the doctors can't figure out what's wrong with them.
All right.
Could it be? So the Lord's Supper is a time of examination. But here's my favorite one. The Lord's Supper is also a time of anticipation.
Amen.
Say anticipation with me. Look at this. Verse 25. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine. In other words, I'm not going to drink of the wine again until that day when I drink it new. Where? In the kingdom of God. And by the way, that phrase, the kingdom of God, is a reference to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You see, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper is not only a time of looking back at the cross in thanksgiving and gratitude, it's a time of looking within and getting close and clean with our Lord, but it's also a time of looking forward in a time of anticipation and proclamation. Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
He's coming again. And when He comes, woo!
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, He's got a wedding gown for you. You're going to put on a wedding garment. You're going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? We're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you're going to be clothed in the righteous acts of the saints, which we couldn't do without Him anyways. And we're going to be made holy, pure, and clean, saved to sin no more. The presence of sin will not even be able to touch us again. And I believe, I used to think that this was a one-time meal. I believe it's a fellowship meal that we're going to enjoy over and over again with the Lord during that thousand-year reign. Amen. That's what the kingdom of God, that's what that's referencing. Not just a one-time. Anyways, that's another study. But can you imagine with the family of God? I don't know how God's going to do that. Ladies, how many do y'all seat at your dining room table? Anybody seat 16 at your dining room table? Debbie? Can anybody seat 20 at your dining room table? Debbie? Y'all just go to Debbie's next time you had a big meal, hey? How's the Lord going to seat millions? I don't know. That's not a big issue for me. Because anybody that can whisper and the entire creation spring into existence out of absolutely nothing can take care of this marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine sitting down at that table with your family, with your born-again, blood-bought family? The old Apostle Paul's going to be there, and I've got questions for him. Peter and John are going to be there. And my favorite preacher, John the Baptist, is going to be there. All these saints of God are going to be there. And we're going to sit down. There'll be goblets of grace that we're drinking from. Plates of peace that we'll be eating from. Layers of love. Bowls of joy. And you all know who's sitting at the head of the table. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to here this morning. We're to proclaim His death until He comes. And He's coming. And did you notice, Andrew, what Jesus did? Look at verse 26. And when they'd sung a what? A hymn. They went out to the Mount of... The last thing Jesus did just before He went to the cross for you and me was sing a hymn. You see now why I say we ought to have to pass out tickets for this event. Because this is what we're going to be doing for all of eternity. I desire to eat this supper with you. But I will not. This was the last time the Lord participated in that. You know what He's waiting on? Us. I'm so grateful for Jesus. Now, before we sit down here at the table, we're going to have a time of confession and repentance. We're going to have a time of thanksgiving and gratitude. And we're going to have a time of just, some of y'all just probably need to, it's been a long time since you just had a spell of joy. We're going to give y'all some time to roll through these three things that we've been talking about. And I'm going to pray. And if you need to hit the altar here, oh, but Brother Cal, if I come to the altar, somebody will think that I've done some big, great big sin. Join the club. Hallelujah. That's what this altar's for, is to get clean and close. Now, I know how most of you are. You're not going to hit the altar, but you can get right with God right there in your chair. Right? But there is some accountability when you come forward. And we're going to just, while our deacons are in the back preparing the, guys, y'all get up and go, while they're preparing the supper, we're going to make this, Andrew, you come on. This is just going to be a time of reflection, participation, examination, and anticipation. And you just get right with God, however you need to do that, right now, okay? Father, I just pray as we prepare. If you told the disciples to prepare, and we need to prepare. And so, God, do what you need to do in our lives right now as we pray. As we seek your face, God, help us to get close and clean. Help us, Lord, to look back in gratitude and thanksgiving. Help us to look within and get right with you. and help this to be a time of looking forward. I ask it in Jesus' name. You just prepare the best way you know how. Maybe you and your family want to come and pray at this special place, this altar. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.